the gospel according to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Look now, if you will, at verse number 9 in Romans chapter 1. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. If you will, look at verse number 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us, dear God. Help this preacher this morning as I simply preach the gospel. And Lord, for those of us that have been saved, Lord, this will be a time of remembrance and a time of rejoicing. For those that may be here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, this very well could be the most important day of their life. And so I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all focus in, listen, remember, or consider the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. The gospel according to Romans, 13 times you'll find the word gospel mentioned in the book of Romans. Four of these 13 times is found here in the very first chapter, the introductory chapter of the book. A lot of times when I'm out soul winning, by the way, I was out soul winning yesterday, doing some visiting yesterday, had some really good visits. I want to share, talk to you about them. I talked to you about the one lady that I ran into. I mentioned this in our Sunday school hour, and I knocked on her door, and she already goes to another Baptist church and had a good, clear salvation testimony, but she knew who we were, and she said, Pastor Jerry Ross, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, she said, don't you have something special planned for tomorrow? I said, we do, and she said, Ice Cream Sunday. I read it on your sign. I'm standing at her front door, the wind's blowing, it's freezing, and she's the one that suggested that maybe we should have had hot chocolate sundae instead of ice cream sundae, and it was just a little late to change at that point, but I had a good visit. Let me tell you about another visit I had. Had a visit where I knocked on the door and knocked a couple times, and you never know anymore, folks. There's a lot of people that work shift work in our area. Unfortunately, there's not, I don't know of any time of the day you can go by somebody's house where you're not at risk of waking up somebody. And I worked third shift for 6 years. If you've never worked third shift, you probably don't have quite the heart that somebody that has, as far as, I don't like waking people up in the middle of the day. But I knocked on the door, and this lady came to the door. I knocked once, knocked twice. Matter of fact, I was reaching to put the card in the door and leave it. And about the time I was sliding the card in, the door opened. And I scared her, and she scared me, and we both jumped. And I said, I'm sorry, I was getting ready to stick the card in the door. I didn't think, and you could tell that I'd woke her up. See, every time I try to get fancy with my English, I just mess it up, you know. I stirred her from sleep, amen, and she came to the door. And I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I said, look, did I wake you up? She kind of went like this. And I said, here, I'll just leave you an information card from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I'm disengaging. I'm turning away. I get about two steps. And she said this out. She looked at the card. And she said this out loud. She said, hey, I read your book. And I turned around and I said, you read my book? What book did you read? And she said, the one about the soldier. And I said, where did you get the book? And she said, me and my husband own a business here in Linton. And she said, a couple years ago, she said, a real nice, cordial couple from your church stopped by our business. And she said, she had a big smile on her face. She said, preacher, you have no idea what you did to encourage me and my husband. Our business was going through a tough time. We'd been struggling a little bit. We'd been struggling in other things. But she said, we got that basket, and it just kind of hit a reset button. I read that book, and I wanted to tell you, thank you for writing that book. And I thought, how neat is that? I had a third visit where I knocked on a lady's door, and again, she goes to a church. But she answered the door, and I said, hello, I'm Pastor Jerry Ross, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I get this almost without fail. If I go with that a week and don't hear this, it's an unusual week. But I'll start to talk and somebody will stop me and say, I know that voice. I listen to you every day on the radio. And again, already went to a good Bible preaching church, had a good salvation testimony. But listen, folks, I just wanted to tell you that because a lot of times we don't get, understand the scope of influence of a lot of our ministries that we have because we don't sometimes get immediate feedback. We wonder, everything that we're doing here is for reasons, for a purpose, and it is making an impact in the community. But I'm talking about the gospel of the Lord. I'm talking about going out and spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 4 of the 13 times that the word gospel is mentioned, it's mentioned in the first chapter. When I do get an opportunity while I'm out visiting to share the gospel with somebody, and sometimes I will ask them a question. You go to church somewhere. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And I ask them, if you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Sometimes folks will be very honest and say, preacher, I just don't know that really. Are you a born again Christian? No, I'm really not. I met a guy here in Jasonville on Wednesday visitation and knocked on the door. And by the way, a fun guy to talk to, really. I had a blessed time witnessing to him. And him and his wife are there in a little apartment building. I got to talk to him. And he at first was, I think, a little combative. He was a little bit resistant towards the whole church and the whole Christian thing. And he said this to me. He said, I was a convict. He said, when I was young, and then I was a carny. Y'all know what a carny is, okay? After that for a lot of years. And then he started going on. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you got 2 C's. You need a 3rd C here. All right, you were a convict. And I said, you know what? I said, did that happen when you were young? Yep. I said, you haven't been back in jail since? No. And I said, hey, you know what? That's the testimony of a lot of people. I mean, honestly, did something dumb when they were young and ended up. And I said, God bless you. I said, you know what? You were a carny. I said, thank you for going out and trying to make a living. I mean, you know, a lot of people just sat at home. Thank you for I said, but you're not done. There's another C. You need to become a Christian. And I got to have the opportunity to share the gospel with him and share my testimony with him. He didn't get saved, but you know what? He was very kind. And by the time we got done, I think I'd build a little bit of a friendship there, and I'm going to go back and see him again. But a lot of times when I am allowed to open the Bible and share the gospel with somebody, I will take them to the book of Romans. And I'll almost always explain why I'm going to this book. And a lot of times what I'll say is this. The reason I'm going to show you verses, most of the verses in the book of Romans, is because the book of Romans probably explains in detail more about salvation and how to know for sure you're going to heaven than almost any other book. If you look at the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters deals with the subject of salvation. And I mean a detailed, very detailed in dealing with salvation. Chapter 12 begins, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And from 12 on, it's more instruction to those that are saved. But the first 11 chapters, folks, listen to me. If you want to sit down and just say, preacher, this whole thing about salvation and being born again and knowing for sure I'm going to heaven, you know, how do I settle that thing? I'd tell you, go home, open the book of Romans, start in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and read the first 11 chapters. Read every verse and think about every verse and ask God to speak to your heart. I think by the time you get to chapter 12, verse 1, you'll either know that you are saved or you'll know that you need to be saved. Romans is a wonderful book when it comes to explaining salvation. Now, I pointed out these 4 verses, and I want you to go back with me and look at 3 of them, kind of an introduction, because 3 of them, I want to just point out some important truths concerning the gospel. And I think it might heighten in your minds the importance of whatever this is talking about, whatever the gospel is. It's extremely important. Notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Now notice this next phrase, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, whatever this gospel is, and by the way, the gospel is a story. The gospel is a message. We'll explain a little bit more in a second. But whatever this gospel is, it is so important that God reaches down and touches many men's hearts and separates them to do nothing with their life but spread the gospel. Now, I know there's a lot of neat stories that I've heard in my life. There's a lot of funny stories I've heard in my life. There's a lot of sober and serious stories that I've heard in my life. There's a lot of stories that are sad and heartbreaking that I've heard in my life. But all of those stories that I'm thinking about right now, I cannot imagine taking my entire life and dedicating it to making sure everybody knew that particular story. I can't imagine doing that. And yet there is a story that is so vital and so important that all throughout the ages, ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we celebrated last week, God has reached down in the hearts of young men and young women and separated them unto the gospel of God, which means this. He basically told them, I want you to spend your life either preaching or teaching or witnessing. It may be here in America, it may be on a mission field, but I want you to spend your entire life separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I opened mail and I had phone calls, and this is every week of my life. Opened a letter from a young man and his wife that's getting ready to start a church in Richmond, Virginia. They've called me a couple times for some advice, for some encouragement. I want to do something. I told them I can't take you on right now. I want to do something, church, to do to bless them a little bit. But here's also a letter, Brother Levi, in there from their pastor. Now listen, they're members of a good church. And you know what? God's separated them from that church to go to Richmond, Virginia to spend their lives doing what? Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you understand that we're in the same process right here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I've missed every single service, Brother Reiser, Mrs. Reiser. Those precious kids aren't here. It just don't seem the same to me. But what happened? God reached down, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and is separating from us someone to go down in the Princeton-Vincennes area and spend their life dedicated to the gospel ministry. I got a call from another guy and I returned the call and talked to him. Brother Turner over in Lima, Ohio. There's a man that attends his church and they're getting ready to send him out to another city in Ohio that has a great need for the gospel. This man, I got a picture of him, his wife. If I remember right, the picture contained him, his wife, and seven daughters. Seven daughters. And you know where they're going? They're going to some town, I can't remember the name of it, in Ohio, and they're being separated from that church to spend their life taking the gospel to that city. Young people, I want you to understand what's going on here. You go back after church. By the way, one of these days, don't just rush right out the door. I know you got to get to the bus in a timely fashion, but every once in a while, I'd like you to swing by and just look in a couple of the boxes out there in the hallway. Say, preacher, what are those letters that are hanging in those boxes, and who are those people that are writing the letters? Can I say that they are people that have been separated by God to go to another part of the United States of America, or to Mexico, or to Canada, or to South America, or across the oceans, either to the right or to the left, and go to some country that they weren't born in, someplace, just to do one thing, to separate themselves, to go to that place, to talk to a people that have not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. Whatever this thing gospel is, it's pretty important. I mean, if God will ask, and he does it in every generation. In every generation, God speaks to young men. God speaks to young ladies and separates them. What's this whole thing about Bible college, preacher? And I have. I've been the last couple months, I've spoken a couple Bible colleges, and you know, why is that important? Because there's a gathering place, a training ground for those that have surrendered to full-time Christian service so they can go out and preach the gospel. What are you saying? I'm saying whatever this is, it's worth it to spend your life doing it. God sees to it that some are separated for the purpose of doing this their entire life. Now, if you will, look, if you will, in verse number 15. Number one, some Christians are separated unto the gospel. Number two, all Christians should be ready to share the gospel. Let me say that again. Number one, we learn some Christians are separated unto the gospel. Number two, all Christians should be ready to share the gospels. Romans chapter 1 verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And I think that there's a message that goes past the boundaries of full-time Christian service and ought to touch the heart of every single Christian, every single person that's born again. Listen to me. One of the obligations you have, and one of the things, listen, if you're not ready for this, then you need to listen real carefully, because you have a responsibility to be ready in this. I'm not talking about preachers. I'm not just talking about deacons. I'm not just talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about everybody that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be ready to preach, ready to teach, ready to share the gospel story with whoever God would bring across your path. Now think about that. Let that sink in a minute. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about if somebody came to you as a born-again Christian and said, hey, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I'm a little worried about this. I might be on my way to hell. Can you tell me how to be saved? That you ought to be ready. You ought to be prepared. You ought to have the ability to open the Bible and share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I don't think I could do that. Well, that's why you come to church. And you know what? That's why we have soul winning training, and that's why we have soul winning opportunities, and that's why people come to soul winning who's never gone soul winning before. They come to learn. They bring their New Testament. If they don't have one, we make sure that we provide one for them. They learn how to market. They learn what verses to go to. Why? Because we're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be ready. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so, folks, watch this. Some Christians are separated unto the gospel, but every Christian, all Christians should be ready to share the gospel. That means if you've come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you rode a bus into church, you got saved. You say, preacher, I got saved right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Maybe it was in a vacation Bible school. Maybe it was after a Sunday school class. Maybe it was in children's church. Maybe it was on a bus ride on the way home. Somebody opened the Bible and showed you how to be saved. Do you know why Paul wanted to make sure that he was ready? Because if you look back at the verse before verse number 15, Paul said this, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And then it goes on to say, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Do you know what he understood? That he owed a debt. Somebody got ready so that when I knew I was lost, they were ready to show me how to be saved. Now I need to get ready, because sooner or later there's going to be opportunity for me to share the gospel with somebody else. You know why? Because I'm a debtor. Because somebody brought the gospel to me. Now listen, what's church about? Well, church is about, you know what I'm doing? I'm separated into the gospel. Listen, your preacher has been called full time. This is what I do. This is my life. I've been doing it now for over 30 years. I mean, this is what God's called me to. Thank God. What a privilege. What an honor to be separated unto the gospel. But folks, listen to me. We all need to be ready to share the gospel. And so you come to church so that you can get ready. You come to church so that you can get qualified. You come to church so that you can learn the Bible and know what to say. You come to church to get trained. By the way, you come to church so that you can learn how to live, so that when you have the opportunity to share the gospel, people will believe it. Now think about this. Watch this. Let me just kind of get your mind thinking about this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. All right, let's stop and think about this. All right, I want you to think. I like it when we get together and think about things, all right? All right, so if you've been daydreaming for the last 10 minutes, come on back, join the crowd. Amen. Here we go. Think about this. Wait a minute. Why would somebody come up to you and ask you a reason for the hope that's in you? Why? The Bible says be ready to give an answer, because somebody might come up to you and ask you a reason for the... You know what? It's because they saw something. They notice something. What is this, once you get saved, preacher, why is it such a big deal? And why do you preach so much about us living a certain way and acting a certain way and dressing a certain way and talking a certain way. And why does the Bible have so much to say about those things? Because, folks, listen to me, ye are the light of the world. Amen. And people in darkness, you know what? That God is working on their hearts. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for some light. Well, preacher, I've never had anybody come and ask me anything about my Christian life. Do they see it? You know, one of the things that my dad told me, and this was his testimony after he got saved, he said, I worked at Anaconda Aluminum Company, and he said there were some men there that were very influential. Obviously, they were Christian men, men that had witnessed to my dad, men that had lived the right kind of life in front of him. And when my dad got saved at the Rock Run Baptist Church and went back to Anaconda Aluminum Company, they were the first men that, once they heard about it, came up and said, hey, Bob, I heard you got saved. But he said, one of the things that always bothered me was once I got saved and the word got out, all of a sudden men that I worked with every day of my life come up to me and said, hey, I heard you got saved. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm saved. But he said, you know what? Listening to them at work, watching them at work, watching their work ethic, listening to what came out of their mouth, what they talked about, the jokes they told, I would not have had any idea that they were a born-again Christian. That's not who you're going to go ask advice from when God starts working in your heart. What I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. What, you know what church is all about? Get ready! Be ready! You know what? God's not going to call all you young people into full-time Christian service, but I believe it's the will of God that every one of you be a soul winner. That every one of you live the kind of life that's going to shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ and draw people out of a dark world towards you. And by the way, when they come, you ought to have an answer. Amen. You ought to be able to open the Word of God and share with them how to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if you don't know that, keep coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'll tell you what, just keep growing in grace. You're going to learn, okay? Now, here's the three great truths in introduction. My message, I don't want you to panic, is very short. I know many of you are excited about ice cream sundaes. Amen? Amen. Me too. So I'm going to wrap this up quick. What if they got chocolate syrup? Oh, my goodness. Maybe some caramel. Got some caramel. We should have had banana splits. I mean, I still think bananas and ice cream are just an unbelievably blessed combination. So we'll get to it. Now, stay with me. Watch this. Some Christians, try to get you back now. Some Christians are separated under the gospel. All Christians should be ready to share the gospel. Now, let me give you the last thought. No Christian should be ashamed of the gospel. How about that? Now, that's three of the four verses right there. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and to the Greek. Oh, preacher, all of a sudden you're making me nervous. I mean, I came to church and I got saved, and I'm glad I got saved, but now you're up here telling me that I need to keep coming because I got to get ready and I got to change my life so that people will be drawn to me and I got to be ready to have, I mean, you may talk about, I got to know how to open the Bible and show people how to be saved. Yes! Yes, every single Christian ought to be ready to do that. Oh, now, preacher, you're making me a nervous wreck. I mean, if I start walking around talking to people at work about Jesus and sharing the gospel and showing up to work with a Bible in my hand, I mean, people are going to think I've gone crazy. I got religion, gone off the deep end. Let me ask you something. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hey, one of the things you got to kind of grow past and get over as a baby Christian is this whole idea of tiptoeing around, worried about what people think because you're a Christian. Hey, you know what? All the sinners and all the pagans out there don't care what anybody think about what they do. They flaunt it. They flaunt their sin in this society. And yet I'm supposed to apologize for it? No, I don't think so. By the way, here's the song that was sung when I graduated from Blessed Hope Baptist School, the one special song that I requested, that was sung at my high school graduation, and this is the way it went. It says, here's the words. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take him with me everywhere. And by the way, folks, it's time to kind of grow up and get over some things. Okay? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. You come on church Sunday to church, and then you go to your public school and tiptoe around, scared to death somebody might find out you ride a bus. And hey, stop that stuff. Get you a handful of gospel tracts on the way out. Be ready to give an answer to the faith that lies. Listen, I went to a public school from first grade all the way to 10th grade. I rode a public school bus. Listen to me. I used to take those little chick tracts and hand them out all over the bus and hand them out at school when I went to school. Listen, stop being ashamed of Jesus. What do you have to be ashamed of? Folks, listen, we celebrated Easter, but good night. What preceded the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, you know what preceded that? His death. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Jesus suffered for you, and he died for you, and he was put to shame on a cross for you. And you know what? We should not be ashamed of him. Luke 9:26, these are the words of Jesus. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And there's going to be a day we're going to look him in the eye. And you know what? If we spend our life being ashamed of him, I'm not saying, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But at that judgment seat I was talking about last week when I was about 12 feet off the ground here, that judgment seat of the Christians, wouldn't it be pretty sad as a born-again Christian taken up in the rapture when it was your time to stand before God's throne and Jesus at the right hand of the Father, that the Son of God has to look to God the Father and said, this is one of our children. He's saved or she's saved. But you know what? They spent their life ashamed of us. And Father, to be honest with you, I'm ashamed of them. Is that what you want your judgment seat experience to be? How about this first? Think about this. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I love Paul's attitude in Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or whether it be by death. I love that. I love that. I love that. You know, one of the greatest things about the Apostle Paul is, you know what? He looked you square in your God-given eyeball, and he never backed down, never apologized once for being a Christian. And neither should you. So you know what? We learn from these first three verses, some Christians are separated into the gospel. All Christians should be ready to share the gospel. No Christian should be ashamed of the gospel. Amen to that. Preacher, wait a minute. What is this? This story that some people are willing to be separated from family and friends and give their life to telling. This story that every Christian ought to be ready to share. This story that no Christian ought to be ashamed of. What is the gospel? Look at verse number 9. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Here it is. In the gospel of his Son. I want you to go forward one book to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want you to go all the way to chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. What is the gospel, preacher? Well, we are told in Romans 1:9 that the gospel is connected to the Son of God, God's own Son, Jesus Christ. Let's get more specific. Let's really understand what the gospel is. And 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in mind what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. By the way, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. And you know what I said last week, folks, but you know what? Once Jesus took that blood to the mercy seat, he came back down. And you know what he did for 40 days? He made sure that enough people saw him so there could never be an argument or a doubt raised concerning the fact that he rose from the dead. And you know what? When Paul wrote this, he said there was one time when there was 500 Christians. He showed up, and you know what? Most of them are still alive. Go ask them. They were there that day. And so what I'm saying is this one. Watch this. What is the gospel? It's very simple. What is the story that God might come and take a young man out of our church and call him to spend his life preaching? What is the story that every Christian ought to be ready to tell and to explain? What is the story that no Christian ought to ever be ashamed of? Here it is. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the gospel. And he was buried. And he rose again the third day. That's the gospel story. Say, preacher, I was thinking it'd be something a little more spectacular. I mean, why is that story of all stories so important? First of all, the word gospel means good news. Folks, you know why people need to hear the gospel? Because there's a whole lot of bad news. But there's not a whole lot of good news. And I think we live in a time where people are hungry for some good news. Number two, the good news is threefold. I just broke it down for you. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose again. What is significant about that? Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. You see, for a while, I understood that Jesus died. I knew that he died. I just didn't understand why he died. I watch people that wear crucifixes, little pieces of jewelry that have the cross and Jesus hang on off of it. And the very fact that they wear that tells me that they know that he died. And sometimes I'll ask them, do you know why Jesus died on that cross? Now they know that he did die. They don't know why he died. I've seen and been in many homes where there's pictures on the wall. And recently, I was in a home where there was a picture on the wall, and they had a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And you know what I found out by talking to that family? They knew that Jesus had died on the cross. They didn't know why he died on the cross. I think that we live in a country that knows, for the most part, Jesus died on the cross. I think we live in a country that does not understand for the most part why he died. You say, preacher, why did he die on the cross? Watch this. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. What's that mean? Well, stay with me. We've all sinned. We've all sinned. I remember this story, and I relived it in my office this morning. It was like it happened yesterday. I was a Bible college student, and there was a little girl that I had invited to church. I can't remember. She was probably 6-7 years old, and she came for several weeks, and she was a lot of fun. She's a real funny kid. She'd come bouncing out of her house, just excited, run to the bus, and it came, but about the third week she came to church, you know. Between Sunday school and church, I was out, and I'd spend part of the morning between Sunday school and church parking buses, so I was kind of like a, you know, we had so many buses coming and going, we had to have some guys out there make sure that everybody was safe. So I just parked buses for a while. And I see this little girl come out of the Sunday school department, but instead of going to children's church, she comes running back to the buses, and I think she thinks it's over. It's not over yet. So I told the guy, take my place for a minute. And I go over, her name was Lupe, and she was just a little girl. And the closer I get, I realize she's crying. And then, of course, you know, you worry, you know, somebody was mean to her, somebody pick on her, she fall down and hurt herself, I don't know, you know. So I go, what's going on? What's going on? Now watch this. One of the sweetest things, one of the sweetest moments, one of the most precious memories of my life. She come up to me, and she grabbed me, and she looked up, tears run down her face. She said, I don't get it. I don't get it, Brother Jerry. Why did Jesus have to die? You know, she went to class, and she got that story. And she knew that he had died, but it just seemed so unfair to her. It just seemed so wrong to her. She just couldn't comprehend why. And so I looked over at the guy that was taking my position, and he gave me the thumbs up. I told him I may be a minute. He said, like that. And I literally sat down. I could take you there. I think I could take you there. On the curb of the street where we sat down together, and I pulled out a New Testament, and I said, that's the greatest question anybody could ever ask. Let me tell you why he died. Folks, you know why he died? For our sins. You know what he died? For little Lupe's sins. You know why he died? For Jerry Ross's sins. You know what he died? He died for all of our sins. You say, preacher, I wasn't even born then. Yes, but you know what? In the great mind of God, the omniscient God, when Jesus hung on the cross, God took all the sins of everyone that had ever lived, all the sins of the people that were living, all the sins of everyone that would ever live, and he took all those sins and put them on the cross. Listen, can I tell you something, folks? I was that day separated unto the gospel, but I was also ready to help that little girl understand the gospel. And let me say this, I wasn't ashamed of the gospel, and I'm still not ashamed of it. Neither should you be. You know what the gospel is? Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Well, why would he have to do that? Because we've all sinned. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God used John to write these astounding words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. He goes on in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. It's only happened a handful of times, but I've had adults and children try to convince me they've never sinned before. You know what the Bible says? They've deceived themselves. They're calling God a liar, and they're a liar themselves. You know what? We've all sinned. Let's be honest. Come on. I'm not as bad as that person. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about sin. You can't hide beside somebody else. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now listen, folks, there's a problem with that. Because see, there is a divine God-appointed punishment attached to sin. Wherefore, is by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, and here it is. We've all sinned, and the penalty is death. And you know what? If we've sinned, we got to pay the penalty, unless someone who has never sinned is willing to pay it for us. And here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God comes down and places him very carefully, very sacredly in the womb of a young virgin. And he's born in a stable and laid in a manger, and he grows up and lives an absolute perfect life, and he's 100% God and 100% man. This is a member of the triune God come down to earth to take the form of flesh for one main purpose, and that is to die on the cross for my sins and to die on the cross for the sins of all of the world. Now watch this, folks. You know what? The devil came to him and tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights because if he could get Jesus to sin just one time, then it would disqualify him for being able to die for the sins of all mankind. He'd have to die for his own sin. But you know what? Jesus was touched with the feelings of our infirmity, yet without sin. Not one time did Jesus ever sin. And when he died on that cross, he wasn't dying for the sins, his own sin. He was dying for my sins and your sins and the sins of all mankind. That's the first part of the gospel. He died for your sin. What's the second part? He was buried. I say, preacher, why was he buried? To fulfill prophecy. Jesus said this, when certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. This is the answer he gave unto them. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And you know why he laid in that ground 3 days and three nights? Because it was a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy that once he was born, died on that cross, he would be buried. And you know what? I think God, again, left him there for 3 days and three nights so nobody could argue that they took him off the cross, quickly resuscitated him. Folks, listen to me. It was validated. It wasn't Christians that buried him. It was pagans that buried him. It was God haters that buried him. It was those that wanted to destroy his message. You don't think they checked to make sure he was really dead? 3 days and three nights he lay in that tomb, and yet corruption never touched him. Not one bit of corruption touched him. The third part of the gospel, up from the grave he arose. Woo! He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He rose from the dead to destroy our last enemy, which is death. And you know what? That's the last thing the devil had to hold over us and to cause us any fear. And you know what? Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. Jesus rose again. That's what we celebrated last week on Easter Sunday. Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace, great grace was upon them all. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And of course, course, that was by the God-man, Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What is this gospel story? It means good news. It's threefold. Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. The good news is for every man, woman, and child. John chapter 3, the Bible says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Here's the word, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what? Folks, this is the kind of good news you can share with everybody, and it's good news for them too. Sometimes somebody will come to church and say, hey, I've got some good news. And you know what? It's good news that just affected them. Something good that just happened to them. Sometimes somebody will come to church and say, hey, let me share some good news. Something happened to my family. And you know what? A good thing happened and it just affected their family. You know what? Sometimes a city, you'll read the paper, and maybe Linton or Worthington or Jasonville, they'll have gotten some kind of a grant, and hey, they got some good news because they can make some improvements, but it's just for that community. Hey, folks, this good news is for everybody. Whosoever, I don't have to walk up and down the street and try to decide, let's see, the good news, the gospel. I don't know if it's for them. Or, you know, it might be, maybe it's not. Oh, it's definitely for, no, you know what? For the same God that saw that all mankind had sinned is the same God that sent salvation unto all men, whosoever will. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Listen to me. God loves you. Amen. And everything he did for you. And I'm going to tell you what I believe from the depths of my heart. And I want you to believe this. If I was the only person on this planet, the only one, I believe God still would have sent his son to die for me. And if you were the only person on this planet that ever existed on planet Earth and you sinned, I believe God would still have sent Jesus to die for you. Now that's pretty spectacular. That's worth spending a whole lifetime talking about and preaching. That's worth being always ready to give an answer. That's worth not being ashamed to tell. Because we have an entire community, folks, come on now, that are wandering around and their lives are messed up and they're seeking relief and distraction through booze and through fornication and immorality. They're spending all their time on their phone or on some website trying to find anything that'll distract them for just a little bit from the misery of their life. We've got a world out there that's hooked on drugs and meth and all kinds of nonsense. And you know what it is? Listen, folks, I'm not mad at them and I'm not even pointing a bad finger at them. You know what? I'm just telling you, they're looking for something, but they're looking for the wrong thing. Everything that they're missing in their life can be found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know what? That's the good news. Hey, preacher, why did you come to the pulpit this morning? I come to tell you some good news. I'm by the way, young men that are saved, I'm telling you about the kind of good news that's worth giving your whole life to if God calls you to preach. I'm talking about the kind of good news that, young lady, if God calls you to go to Bible college and maybe be a preacher's wife, that's not a wasted life. I'm talking about the kind of good news that if God were to honor you and trust you with the call of going to a mission field, you ought to be willing to do it. I'm talking about the kind of good news that every Christian in this room ought to be ready to give. And by the way, to give in a skilled manner. I mean prepared to give. I mean know how to give. Preacher, I don't know how to do that. Come see me afterward. I'll begin to, listen, I can help you know that there is nothing in the world more wonderful than opening your Bible and showing somebody who's on their way to hell how to go to heaven and watch God do a miracle in their life. I don't know what else you'll accomplish in this whole world. I don't care how much money you'll make, what kind of house you'll live in, but I'm telling you this, if you can get to heaven one of these days and you don't go empty-handed and you say to the Lord, I didn't just come, Lord, by myself because you saved me. I took the story of the gospel and I shared it with this person, I shared it with this person, I shared it with this person, I shared it with this person. You're going to be glad that day that you got ready to share the gospel, that you weren't ashamed to share the gospel. Here's a question and then we're done. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? I don't mean 95% sure. I don't mean 90% sure. I mean, I kind of hope so. I mean, do you know, could you give a Bible reason, a Bible answer why you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? If not, I've got some good news. I got some great news. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. We'll have two men standing right up here. Anybody here that says, preacher, I really need to be saved. I need to settle this matter. I need to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. You'll simply leave your pew, come to the nearest aisle, come to one of these men. If you're a lady or a young lady, they'll get a lady that's ready, that knows how to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. You can be saved today. If you're a young man or a man, then we'll get a man to kneel down with you and show you from the scripture. They're ready. They're ready to do it this morning. And they'll show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And you know what? You can pillow your head tonight, not worrying about eternity, knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Well, that's good news. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to know you're in a place here where people care about you and love you. You're in a place where we've spent a great deal of time this week praying specifically for you and asking God to bring you here. We may know you, we may not know you, but we've prayed for you. And I want you to consider what the Lord's doing in your heart. If the Holy Spirit of God, if God is working in your heart, and if God is telling you, you know what, you need to go forward, you need to get this thing settled, you need to get saved, I pray that you would this morning. I pray that you would. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I can't say that I'm 100% sure. Some of you may even be able to say, preacher, I know I'm not saved. The only truth is, I know it. I've known it for some time. I can't say that with any confidence, but God is working in my heart. God has used the Word of God to speak to my heart this morning. God is doing something unusual and supernatural in my heart right now, and I know that I need to be saved. By the way, I won't embarrass you, I won't call your name, but I want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you say a prayer for me this morning that I'd do the right thing? Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved. Would you pray? Would you pray for me, preacher, that I'd do the right thing this morning? I know I'm not saved. I'm waiting for you. Would you lift your hand? Just lift your hand. Again, I won't embarrass you. Thank you. God bless you. Somebody else? God bless you. Somebody else? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, the honest truth is, I don't know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven. I don't have any assurance of that. How many of you say, preacher, that first part of the sermon, that affected me. God used it to speak to my heart. I am saved. I'm a Christian. Somebody did take the time and was ready to get me to Jesus. And preacher, I just want to be able to get ready myself. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to be ready. I want to be, and by the way, if God were to call me to even be separated and do this for my whole life, called me into the ministry, I'd be willing to do it. It's that important, isn't it, preacher? By the way, it is. It is. I'm a Christian, but the Lord has spoken to my heart about something this morning. Maybe I've mentioned it, maybe I haven't, but the Lord has spoken to my heart about something, about the gospel and the importance of it. I'm a Christian, but this message was for me. Would you raise your hand? This message was for me too, all across the auditorium, all across the auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful thing to see, Lord, people responsive and tender to the preaching of the Bible. Lord, yes, there are some Christians who will be separated into the gospel ministry. Lord, all Christians should be ready to speak the gospel and tell the gospel. And Lord, no Christian ought to be ashamed of the gospel. The most important decision, Lord, that's being contemplated in this room this morning is contemplated by those who have never been saved. They've raised their hand this morning. They've said, I don't know for sure if I was to die that I'd go to heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the boldness in just a minute as the piano player begins to play in just a moment, that you'll give them the boldness to step out of their pew up here to see Brother Jack Gordon. And Lord, that they would, Lord, receive you as Savior and settle that thing forever. receive the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ unto salvation. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray, dear God, that as Christians we would be just as tender to the Holy Spirit as we would hope that these who are lost would be. And Lord, may we not quench the Spirit in what He's trying to do in this hour, we pray in Jesus' name.